Well, good morning.
Morning.
Last week, for those of you who are residing someplace off-grid, was VBS. And there was something happened on Friday that really stimulated some just thought, contemplation, meditation in me. And that was watching Justin in the skit. And for those of you who had an opportunity to see his portrayal of Christ, it was moving, and it really touched me because of just the way that reflecting on what Jesus did going to Calvary, and the fact that nothing could have stopped him from doing that. And in talking with Hina, she reminded me of a quote of Oswald Chambers that says, "Suffering is the heritage of the bad, the penitent, and the Son of God." In other words, we're all going to suffer. And we all know what the bad are. That's self-explanatory. Penitent is a word that I think we use. I'm not sure that everybody is real familiar with what penitent is. So I looked it up, and it is feeling pain or sorrow on account of sin. There's an element in repentance, that penitence of repentance, a contrite spirit, a sincere effect by the sense of guilt of what you've done, okay? So as I look at those three things, the bad, the penitent, the Son of God, it took me to Luke chapter 23 and the crucifixion. And the picture is you've got two thieves on a cross with Christ. And if you'll go with me to chapter 23 of Luke, verse 39, it says, "One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other answered and rebuking him said, 'Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' And he was saying, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said to him, 'Truly, I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise.'" It really brought back the thought to me, and again thinking of, as we are students of Christ, as we are disciples of Christ, what is it that we are learning? Well, we're learning how to follow him, how to make what is important to him important to us, that desire to be attached to him. As Christians, we are not called to pursue a life of ease and comfort. Sometimes we get lost in that. We think, you know, how comfortable can I be? That's not what we're called to. We are to embrace the calling for our lives that God has given to us. Jesus says in Matthew 16, "Pick up your cross and follow me." And it's really that simple. There's not a guarantee, there's not a promise of anything that everything's going to go smoothly every day. It's just follow me. Consider the passage that we just read. To the observers, everything looks the same. The physical suffering that each individual suffered and the ultimate end appear the same. They all three suffer, they all three died. So to the passive observer, that's what it looks like. But through the eyes of the Spirit, we see something different. We see one condemned man who knew of Christ, was familiar with what he had seen, was watching the same thing everybody else in the crowd was watching, yet he rejected the love of the truth. As a result, he suffers in eternity for a decision he made to reject the love of the truth. Okay? The second man witnessed the same thing. He knew he was seeing somebody special. He clearly knew somebody. He saw somebody who he believed had the power to bring him along with him. He didn't really even know what to pray, but he looked at Jesus and he saw truth there. He saw God and he said, "Remember me when you get to paradise." And it's that sense, if we think about it, we all have that desire to be remembered. But he's wanting to be remembered by the one who matters. And he says, "Remember me when you get to paradise." It's interesting to look at the amount of rebellion in this individual, because it took him right up to the last minute to do it, right? But I'm not going to cast stones. So there are times I've seen things and have not acted on it. But the thing that we see here is him receiving the love of the truth also didn't cut short the consequences of what he'd done. He still died, but he went on to eternity with Christ. Third, we see Jesus, and we see Jesus accomplishing God's plan. Through this, he provides the pathway for all of us to have salvation, to have an eternal relationship with his Father. So three different men, the bad, the penitent, and Christ on the cross. Principle. We're not always going to understand why we're suffering. Sometimes we do something wrong. We're speeding down the road. Cop pulls you over. Boom. No mystery there. I did wrong. Got caught. But sometimes God brings things into our lives that he's using to draw us closer to him. Causes us to draw, to become more Christ-like. And in those times, we don't always know why it's happening. But if our relationship is solid with God, we can know that this is coming from a loving God, a sovereign God. He's controlling all things that happens. And the things that come into our lives, he is doing it for a good purpose. It's never for a bad purpose. And sometimes we look at it and we go, "Man, I wish that hadn't happened." But I've said it before, at the end of the road you go, "But I wouldn't have changed anything. I wouldn't have changed the outcome." But we can't do it. We can't find joy in a perception of what the outcome's going to be. Our joy has to be in knowing that it's coming from him. And in Hebrews 12:2, we talked about this morning, that 12:2 says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame." So Jesus found strength in the Father. He found strength in the relationship that he has with his Father. He found strength in knowing all the characteristics, all the character traits of God, and relying on those. So it's that as we come in here on Sundays, on Wednesdays, as we're in our Bible studies, as we're in discipleships, it's that we're looking to foster, is that recognition of who is Christ, who is the Father who is making these promises to me. And then when I look at the circumstances around me, when I look at the waves around me, you know, Isaiah says those waves, he promises he's going to walk through those waves with us, through the fire with us. He's not going to keep us from them. He's going to walk through them. And then in Isaiah 40, he says, "But all those waves fit in the palm of his hand." So what are we worried about? So we can thank the Lord that while we all face things that are struggles for us, we face times of trial, we know who is ultimately in control and who is walking with us. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way that you demonstrate in our lives daily that you're right here. Lord, you don't allow us to be overwhelmed. If we'll turn to you and if we'll walk in your ways, if we will embrace the relationship, the loving relationship that you desire to have with us, if we'll open our hands and let go of whatever perception perception of power we may have and just turn to you and recognize you are the one that makes the world move. You're the one who created everything by your voice. If I'll just recognize that and just turn to you, Lord, you will demonstrate yourself faithful. You will be there. And Lord, our faith will grow stronger and stronger. And that joy that you promise us will be ever present with us. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.